We have no interest in causing confusion, mistakes, or deception. That sounds more like a job for those responsible for telling the market they wouldn't raise rates after a massive monetary expansion, and then went on to raise them faster than at any time in U.S. financial history. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And I want to go ahead and preface this episode with a legal disclaimer. All of the comments and ranting henceforth are the sole opinion of Guy Swan and Guy Swan only. Guy Swan is not affiliated with Bitcoin Magazine and does not represent Bitcoin Magazine or BTC Media in any capacity. The claims presented herein are entirely my own thoroughly informed opinions. With that out of the way, apparently the individuals running the Federal Reserve are in fact retarded. They have threatened to sue Bitcoin Magazine for t-shirts and hats that poke fun at the FedNow service that apparently just recently launched, which I wasn't even aware of. And I genuinely think this course of action just shows how utterly blind the people in the Fed really are. You know, I increasingly do not think they have any sort of a master plan. There's no 4D or 3D chess going on. Hell, there might not even be 2D chess being played here. I think they just live in a bubble of people who think that they are the most important and powerful people, and that everybody just has to appease them, just wants to get on their good side, because if they have any ghost of a hint of what's about to happen, they could literally make billions, hundreds of billions of dollars because of how absurd the very notion of the Federal Reserve as a price control on money and interest is. I think they're just in that bubble, and they think they're so important, and that everybody thinks of them as wonderful and powerful and important, and they don't have the slightest clue what is happening in the real world. I mean, how could they be so clueless as to who Bitcoiners even are? Did they really think they were going to get an apology? So I think it was Walker, I saw the first post about this, and so I immediately stopped and just read the whole thing. It's pretty short. But it's the Bitcoin Magazine official response, the editor's response, and like a public note that was published on this issue. And it's really entertaining. So I thought this was a great way to close out the week. And I hope you guys enjoy it. This episode is brought to you by Nodeless, the easiest way to set up to receive Bitcoin for your products, for donations, for your online store, whatever it is. If you want to receive Bitcoin in payment, and you would rather not have KYC, you would rather not have to subscribe to something, you just want to make a non-KYC account, punch in your Bitcoin address, and then just have it work, and anything that you get through the service just goes straight to your Bitcoin address? Well, great. All you have to do is check out bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. And speaking of an address, you're going to want to get that off your cold card so that you know you actually have it safe. The cold card MK4 is a phenomenal hardware wallet. It's so great to use with your phone because you can activate NFC, so you can literally just tap to send, and it keeps your keys totally separate from the device so that you never have to worry about having your coins on a mobile wallet, because they aren't. They are securely on your cold card and stashed away offline. Your keys never touch the internet. That's what makes it a perfect pairing with Nodeless. And that's also where you're going to withdraw your Fold sats from. When you have your debit card that gets you sats back on everything, got some DoorDash earlier today, I think I got 3.5% back. Withdraw it to your cold card, you've got sats coming in from every direction. Oh, by the way, you can actually buy Bitcoin now in the app again in every state, or at least I know in North Carolina it's available again because I got the announcement today. Again, that is no fees, and you can buy it directly in your Fold app with your debit card. Links to all of the stuff will be right in the show notes. All right. With that, let's get into today's read, and it's titled, The Federal Reserve Threatens to Sue Bitcoin Magazine. by Mark Goodwin. The U.S. Federal Reserve is taking legal action against Bitcoin Magazine in an attempt to silence criticism of its recently launched FedNow Interbank Clearing and Settlement Service. In a letter sent to the publication by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, the Central Bank of the United States is claiming that Bitcoin Magazine merchandise that parodies its services are not protected speech, but rather an unauthorized infringement of its image and trademarks. The dispute centers around the use of the FedNow service image and trademark in a line of merchandise sold by Bitcoin Magazine that seeks to criticize the surveillance capabilities of the FedNow system and how it threatens American civil liberties. The Federal Reserve alleges that Bitcoin Magazine used the trademark without permission to mislead readers into believing a connection exists between the publication and the central bank. In response to the allegations, Bitcoin Magazine has penned an open letter to the Federal Reserve Financial Services Deputy General Counsel, Thaddeus Murphy. Dear Thaddeus Murphy, on behalf of the entire team at Bitcoin Magazine, I wanted to take the time to thank you for your thoughtful inquiry after having browsed our online store. Doing your Christmas shopping early, you love to see it. Let us know if we can send you a box of merchandise to any of the 12 Federal Reserve banks. You might enjoy our content from the latest print, Bitcoin Magazine, which discusses the damages your policies have done to our economy and our country. Please don't hesitate to reach out with a list of coveted items, and we will be sure to send them. We want to do our part to, quote, stimulate the economy. On to business. We would like to inform you that while we received your cease and desist request, we refuse to comply. We will not be intimidated by your efforts to silence criticism. As you may know, our publication and our readership are deeply troubled by the new FedNow interbanking communication system. We believe not only that it is possibly unconstitutional, but that it threatens the very freedoms that all liberty-loving American citizens should hold dear. With that in mind, we believe it is well within our First Amendment rights to exercise speech on the issue, and to that end, we will be defending our right to sell merchandise that makes buyers aware, through fair use imagery, our position that the system is a threat to civil liberties. I would like to make a few direct comments on quotes present in your letter, in order to best articulate what I am sure is to be considered a disappointing response. Quote, "The Federal Reserve has extensively used and promoted the FedNow mark and has built up substantial goodwill in this invaluable asset. Financial institutions and consumers associate the FedNow mark with the Federal Reserve and its services." An interesting point. For starters, what goodwill has the Federal Reserve built up? Have you seen the state of the working class today? Perhaps you have already forgotten that Fed policy directly led to mismanaged bond portfolios in regional banks across the country, such as Silicon Valley Bank, Signature, Silvergate, or First Republic. Perhaps you have already forgotten about the historic inflation rates seen throughout the U.S. since government-imposed lockdowns all but forced the Treasury's hand to stimulate the economy to the tune of trillions of dollars. There is no goodwill, Mr. Murphy, and certainly not substantial goodwill either. Quote, "The Federal Reserve recently learned that Bitcoin Magazine is selling t-shirts, hats, and other wearables bearing the FedNow name as shown in the screenshot below. Bitcoin Magazine's use of the FedNow mark in this manner is likely to cause confusion, mistakes, or deception. Consumers are likely to believe that the gear is associated with, affiliated with, or endorsed by the Federal Reserve, when no such association or relationship exists." This is false. Bitcoin Magazine is exercising its First Amendment rights to social commentary and parody. I'm sure you'll notice the all-seeing eye that symbolizes the state of total financial surveillance that your agency is seeking to impose on the American financial system. We do not believe that anyone that is familiar with our editorial guidelines and general stance on the world would ever associate Bitcoin Magazine with the Federal Reserve. We agree with your assertion that, quote, no such association or relationship exists. We have no interest in causing confusion, mistakes, or deception. That sounds more like a job for those responsible for telling the market they wouldn't raise rates after a massive monetary expansion and then went on to raise them faster than at any time in U.S. financial history. We look forward to defending our First Amendment rights and the opportunity to make clear to all Americans the difference between the open, free, and decentralized financial system that is Bitcoin and the centralized FedNow system that threatens our nation's founding values. Best, Mark Goodwin, Editor-in-Chief of Bitcoin Magazine. You know what I think? I think Bitcoin Magazine has someone inside the Federal Reserve, and this is all a ploy to sell a lot of FedNow shirts. And I'm considering I might buy one before this episode is over. This episode is brought to you by Nodeless, the easiest way that I know to accept Bitcoin online directly and to get it sent directly to your coins without any setup, without having to worry about channel management and, you know, do you have your Lightning nodes set up right? How do I get my front end? How do I plug this into WooCommerce? How do I set up my own server? None of that. Basically, all of that stuff is handled for you. You go, you make an account, you connect it to your WooCommerce, you create a donation page or a fundraiser. You can create paywalls. They have a really powerful API, so you can use it any custom way that you want to mess around with. But in just a few clicks and with a really simple no KYC, no subscription, no long-term obligations, like if you don't even use it that much or you're not even planning to use it for a couple of months, doesn't matter. Just go create an account, start playing around with it, and see where it can be useful to you. And you just punch in your address. Like, you got your cold card? You got your hardware wallet, whatever you're using? Just give it an address to the withdrawal settings, and whatever you receive online, through donations, through your fundraiser, your project, whatever you're selling, through your WooCommerce store, it just gets pulled together and then it sends out to your keys. As I like to say, there is BTC Pay Server for the technical people who can do it themselves, and then there is Nodeless, which is BTC Pay Simple. No fuss, it just works. Check them out. Use my link at bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. You will find it right in the show notes. Again, bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. This situation is hilarious. It's hilarious for a few different reasons to me. One, this is going to sell a lot of shirts and merchandise for Bitcoin Magazine. I didn't even know about their FedNow stuff. And, you know, probably if nothing had come of it, I mean, just straight up Barbara Streisand, like up, down, left, and right. Now the fact that the Federal Reserve has literally threatened to sue them over the just hilariously absurd notion that someone was going to be confused that Bitcoin Magazine was associated with the goodwill that the Federal Reserve has built up. I honestly don't think that there was another time in which the public was aware of and had as low of an opinion of the Federal Reserve as they do today. Like, the Ron Paul movement was basically just opened everybody's eyes to the fact that the Fed even existed. And if you were looking for a demographic that had a 99.9% deeply negative opinion of the Federal Reserve and everything that they do, it would be Bitcoiners. It would be the audience of Bitcoin Magazine. So the Federal Reserve just helped Bitcoin Magazine sell a lot of merchandise, which I really appreciate. I think they deserve that. Now the second reason this is funny is because they're butthurt. Is because they're such little bitches that they give a flying f**k about Bitcoin Magazine selling parody merchandise shirts with their image on it. And this is one of those things, you know, you forget, it's really easy to forget where political power comes from and why it is that they respond to violence with everything. This is a perfect example of somebody said something mean about me, I'm going to get the man with the stick and the gun to go beat him up. This is a deep-seated immaturity and childishness on the part of the Federal Reserve of Chicago. And I know Bitcoin Magazine is going to try to be a little bit more diplomatic about it, but if Thaddeus ever listens to this, you should be so embarrassed by this. I mean, just what a little bitch. Like, did you approve of this? Did you even think about what it was going to look like? Just wow. Wow. But here's the thing, going back to the idea of political power. is remember that political power is entirely built upon sentiment, upon social acceptance. It's literally about looking like the most powerful and important person in the room. It is law by ego. It's about being perceived as the one who is the good guy or the person who could never be wrong about anything. This is why you never admit your mistakes. You never apologize for anything. You just deflect and lie and pretend like you had it all under control and you know everything that's going on. This is why I think one of the most powerful things, and actions like this, I think indicate just why this is so powerful, that the most powerful thing you can do against people in power is ridicule them, is to make them feel stupid and little, because what they get off on is the fact that they're bigger and stronger and better than everybody else, is that they can call up a phone, they can make a phone call to the right person, and they can just squash your whole company. They can just delete everything that you do. They can just go in and, because Bitcoin Magazine is selling the wrong t-shirts, we're just going to go in and just rape them for millions of dollars. They feel big. They feel like they can accomplish anything, that everyone else has to do what they say. They live by that power. It makes them feel strong. The way to respond to that, the tyrant in them, is to belittle them, is to show them that we don't give a shit, that they are weak and pathetic, and that we think they are embarrassing, that they threatened to sue Bitcoin Magazine about a shirt that says end the Fed now and has the all-seeing eye, which is specifically there to criticize them for their surveillance. And another, here's a third thing that is really funny about this, is that there's a tacit admission that if they think that people are going to be confused, they're going to be deceived by these shirts, by these clear criticisms of total surveillance, of total control, of the elimination of everybody's civil liberties that is written all over these shirts. It could not be more blatantly obvious. It's a tacit admission that that's not a parody, that that's exactly what they're doing, because it will deceive them into thinking that this is legitimate product associated with the Federal Reserve, with the FedNow program. Why? Because that's exactly what they're planning to do, to build a total surveillance, total control system that interacts directly with consumers and routes around the banks so that they have a master key on everything that happens. They don't even think that that's a bad thing. And what a... the blinders on these people, the f***ing bubble that these morons are in, that they think they have built up goodwill with anybody. Like, what world do they live in? Do they even leave that gaudy, giant-ass bank that they work in? Has none of them ever gone outside and had a conversation with a real human being? Do they just get on their spaceship and go back to Lizard Planet? Just lift straight off the top of the bank? Like, if I didn't believe, like, if this was April Fool's, I would believe that the letter, the cease and desist letter of the Fed now, of the Federal Reserve, was the parody. It sounds like a parody of themselves. Who there could possibly think that that is our opinion of them? That anybody would be even slightly confused? I literally kind of think they're the only people who are so stupid that they could think someone else actually has that sort of I think it might be honest. I think they literally think someone else might be deceived. And I think they are the only ones who are so deluded that that is even slightly possible. Man, what a joke. What a joke. I literally would believe, I could easily believe, it's easier for me to believe that this, the cease and desist could be a parody. Because how stupid do you have to be? Like, I think I'm gonna update my Twitter profile picture. They need to be lambasted so hard for this. Just so hard. What? Oh my God, what a bunch of idiots. The whole point of the FedNow merchandise, the whole point of the parody is to imply that they are petty, controlling tyrants. And what else would a petty controlling tyrant do other than sue the people who are criticizing them? What more proof could you want that they are exactly what we claim that they are. Now, if this is like a ploy from Bitcoin Magazine, I'm well done. Well done, because this is really entertaining. If it's not, I really think you should expand the FedNow merchandise line. I think you should go all in, and you should just be really blatant about it. And I didn't even want, I wasn't going to buy one, but now I'm going to buy, I've got a beanie and a shirt in my cart. And you should put the little red dot in the eye for like all of them. I think that's really kind of like the sweet spot. But I want to reemphasize that point about, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is that the worst thing that you can do to a politician or to someone in power is to indicate or to give the impression that they don't matter. I really think it's so ego-driven. You know the phrase, the emperor has no clothes? Like, I think that's, you know, that's an indication or an implication of that notion, is that the worst thing you could do to the emperor is not, you know, stand up to him, because that makes him look important, because then, you know, you have to pay attention to him, and, you know, someone has to be powerful to challenge him, and the idea of a challenging is just, you know, gives them the opportunity to show their power. That it's not to hate them and, you know, beg them to do something else. It's to ridicule them. It's to expose them naked in front of everyone so that people see that they're just stupid, fat, and gross like every other person. Like, I think the worst thing that you could do for most politicians is to expose a picture of them taking a crap. Like, just have them when they are most vulnerable. Like, that would be the worst thing ever, because everything is about how other people perceive them. You know, it's like, it's that celebrity mindset, right? Is that everyone has to like me, everyone has to respect me, and if they don't, then I don't even know who I am. I can't even respect myself. And I think that's why these people are used so easily. Like, the whole system itself just invites cowards and weaklings. And it's why the person with any sort of integrity or any sort of balls to say something unpopular or say something that is true that isn't going to get them a standing ovation for just telling the audience whatever the f*** they want to hear at the time is such an unbelievable rarity and is so astonishingly refreshing. It's like this weight lifted, like, oh my God, there are people who can actually make an ounce of sense that could be in this giant apparatus of bullshit. And I think that's what social media has done. And I think that's why they hate it so, so much. Is because it's just revealed what sad, normal people they are. Their air of the control over the lighting and how they're perceived, and whenever they're giving speeches, the ability to pinpoint some little piece of their conversation and make them look like fools is just the worst thing that could happen to them. And it's also why these institutions don't understand social media. They don't even know how to use it, because what they do, they think they're like entering into this new space and appealing to this new audience, and they confuse it with the situation that had been in, you know, 20 years ago, the norm and really the only avenue to reach millions, hundreds of millions of people was, you know, the major broadcasting companies, the major cable television networks. And in doing so, and the CIA and the broader government institutions have always just had a chokehold on all of the media. It's been a really long time. And you've got MK Ultra and numerous, obvious and blatant plans that have been exposed and were engaged in for decades to literally take over and control Hollywood and the major broadcasting networks. And when they were exposed, did anybody get punished? Did anybody get sued? Did anything happen? No. You think they stopped doing it? You think they like rolled back any of the control that they had? No, they didn't give a shit. Literally nothing happened. So whatever they were doing in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that we now know about, they're just doing it 10 times more. After the Patriot Act, you don't think it's 100 times worse? It is, and you can see it. They do everything in lockstep. Everything is about controlling the narrative. And that is what the internet and social media, that's why it's been such a thorn in their ass. because they don't control the flow of information and they're doing everything to reinsert themselves in the middle. And that's why centralized social media is such a problem. And at the end of the day, it's going to be things like Noster and Hyperdrive or Hypercore, these alternative decentralized protocols that simply stop that central mode of being able to control the algorithm, to be able to control who gets to see what and who gets what information gets to perceived as important weight and unimportant weight. They are desperately attempting to regain that chokehold on the new media sphere that they have always had in the old media sphere. And when somebody like the Federal Reserve makes a Twitter account or something, they think, I guarantee you, they have this perception. These people are like 80 years old, for crying out loud. They have this perception that they're just engaging with this new audience and this new platform, and they're technical, and, you know, we're hip with the kids. How do you do, fellow millennials? But they don't control the narrative. They don't control the structure of the conversation. And instead, it does the exact opposite. Like when the news agency is allowed to kind of restrict the scope, the broadness of the conversation by allowing them to argue about an issue that's not even relevant. Like, you know, when there's an issue with a war, it's like, oh, should we have boots on the ground or should we just bomb them endlessly from the battleship at sea? And the question, and they're hotly debating and they're, you know, having stupid back and forth opinions, but there's no one on talking about like, no, maybe we should not be at war. Why are we in the Middle East? Or why are we in with this country? Who can even pinpoint them on a map? Where's the public support? What was the outcry to go invade these people? How is any of this representative of the people, which is literally their only job? That's not part of the conversation. The conversation is like, how do we do it? And then they put in this fake debate. And so all of the perception is that obviously it's going to happen. The question is, are we going to put boots on the ground, invade and shoot and kill everybody? Or are we going to just bombard them from the battleship at sea? Well, in that same way, politicians get to control what they look like. And they get to control their perception. The lighting is always good. The picture's always taken from their good side. If they control broadcast media, if the deep state and the government institutions control broadcast media and they have enough power that they can make them do whatever they want, because if they ever do anything even slightly out of what is desired, well, they just sue them for something. Maybe they sold the wrong t-shirts. And because of that, they get to filter all of the information that gets down to, you know, the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of normal people, where no matter what, they get perceived as important. They get perceived as in control, in power. You know, there was something, I can't remember the context of when I first heard this idea, but I was pretty young and I was, you know, kind of going down the libertarian rabbit hole. And you know, there's always the conspiracy theories and, you know, the CIA can do everything and they're in control and everything. And I remember, somebody was having a conversation. Maybe it was like somebody on Tom Wood's show or something. I can't remember. But they pointed out, they said, you know, the CIA, it's actually insanely beneficial for us, for the CIA, for everyone to think that everything's a psyop, everything's a conspiracy, that they have total and complete control, because it makes them an insurmountable enemy. It makes them appear to be such a powerful institution and such an important institution that there's absolutely nothing we could ever do to stop them. And in their mind, that's just as good as people just not knowing or not having any idea what they're doing. If the alternative is that we believe that they're all powerful and all knowing and there's nothing we can do to defeat them, well, then that's a slave just the same as the other person is. Everything in politics is about perception. And I genuinely think one of the best things we can do is just ridicule them for being the horrible, petty people that they are. And, you know, aside from the Jeffrey Epstein, like, child rape blackmail ring, I think that's the other major way that they control most of the politicians. If you control public opinion, if you control the filter of how the narrative reaches the public, well, then you can control whether people are loved or hated, whether people are famous or infamous. I mean, just look back at the last 4 to 8 years, maybe, and look at the progression. And look what they've been able to accomplish, what they've been able to do to people who say the wrong thing or suggest the wrong opinion or ask the wrong questions. And how thoroughly and completely they just make stuff up. They just lie through their teeth to paint someone as the most vicious, horrible, evil, crappy person imaginable. And also think about how it's kind of not working anymore. That they've kind of expended all of their social capital and all of their political capital with an increasingly large portion of both the U.S., but largely the world population. More and more often, it's failing against the people they're trying to attack. And aside from the kind of, you know, broad, sweeping brush here, but I think there's a fair case to be made that this is a majority, that there is absolutely a persona, a mentality, a personality that both succeeds and is incentivized by this system. And of the people in these institutions who are normal, who are just decent people, I think those exceptions are the ones that prove the rule because they generally stand out like a sore thumb. But with that minor caveat out of the way, I think largely the idea that people aren't listening to them anymore and that they can't just make a phone call and have everything shift to the way they see it or the way they want it to be done, that nobody cares what they think, I think that's their worst nightmare. And I think that's why they send out cease and desist letters and they sue and they attack and they, you know, implement spiteful regulation. And every time they discuss something, it's with just disgusting bitterness about the people that they hate who shouldn't be able to do A, B, or C. And there's not even a ghost of the concept of restraint about what they're allowed to do. It's about what they can do and what they can get away with. They should be ridiculed. No one respects you. You are just the mosquito at the garden party. Nobody cares what you think. And whenever there is an opportunity, you will be squashed and forgotten. Anyway, this is the episode I felt like today. A little bit riled up, and this was perfect for that. I will say, for anybody who's stuck around this long, that last night I had one of my miners now finally hooked up into my main ducting in the house. I have a small return that comes from my laundry room, and it goes straight through the miner and it pumps into the main ducting for the house. And it is subtle. It doesn't heat very quickly, but sure enough, it got down to 28 degrees last night outside. That is Fahrenheit for all of you non-Americans out there who are like, what the hell? It got down to 28 degrees Fahrenheit, so just below freezing. And we didn't have any of the space heaters on. We didn't have the fire on. All we were using was the single miner up in the ducting in the attic. And we were pretty cozy all night. We never turned on our heater. I think only in Rad's room, which he has the big double windows, and we bundled him up a little bit extra last night just in case, because it was the first time we actually had it entirely hooked up into the unit, or into the main ducting. But he has a big double window, and they're not sealed very well. They're crappy old windows, and we've been meaning to get all the windows replaced, but it's just exorbitantly expensive and only keeps getting more expensive. But it's the furthest away and most likely to leak. And I think it got down to 67 or 68 degrees. And he started to kind of like toss and turn a little bit at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning when it was the absolute coldest and it got. And I did turn on a space heater and just point it through the crack in his door. And it warmed right back up to, you know, 70 degrees in there. But that was it. And that's pretty cold here. We don't get below freezing like a ton. And also, that's only one miner. Again, there were no other, we weren't using heat in any other way. I'm pretty happy with that. And also, it's a Watts Miner M30S on low power. So it's on the lowest power mode. I could just turn it up to normal and it'll pump a little bit more heat out. But I'm really, really stoked. I did all the video and everything for it. So I hope to have a lengthy tutorial / story of all the mess that happened as I was trying to get it together. But I'm really, really excited about it. And also, I'm going to have an episode of AI Unchained that goes into this. Probably, I don't know, I hate that it's already the weekend. The week just kind of flew by. And this project, which I had allotted 2 days for, definitely took 4 days, which is not totally uncommon. But I want to, I actually used AI for some really critical parts of this whole setup and design, and for a couple of little tricks that I did, and I'm just fascinated with the number of ways that I can use it. So I'm actually going to do an episode purely on, it's going to be like kind of a guy's take episode. I think I'm going to have different formats for AI Unchained going forward. But I just want to talk about the ways that I'm using AI and how, like less an explicit tutorial and more just like how I think about it, because I think that's so much of what the mindset is missing. Is how do we utilize these tools and where are we missing like the really easy things that are kind of like a 10x improvement with almost no work? There's really, really simple things that we can do with this and ways that we can utilize this. And I want to share that out. So, and I think this would be really, really big for anybody who's even like slightly interested in, you know, kind of like LLMs and image diffusion, all of these things, because I'm just going to give an overview of a lot of the different ways that I use AI tools. But anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent, and it was just important to this project, and I wanted to share that because I was really jazzed about that. I am jazzed about it. It's just, it's cool to have this finally in the house ducting, and phase three, I think that's technically phase two. Phase three of this thing is going to be really, really interesting because now I get to hook it up on a contactor and start looking at temperature sensors and essentially getting this thing to run with a thermostat that I can just set a temperature range and it will just cut it on and off as needed to regulate the temperature in the house. And I think I can do it, and I'm really excited. So don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. It will be easier to go into depth in that, because obviously it's a very video heavy, visually heavy tutorial and everything. Like, you know, if you're not going to see what's going on, it's not going to come across in audio very well. So definitely don't forget to check those out. And of course, AI Unchained. And a huge thank you to Goodwin and Mark Goodwin for the article and the wonderful response to the Federal Reserve. And a thank you to the Federal Reserve for today's entertainment. You should really be proud of yourselves. Just way to go. And thank you for my new shirt that I wasn't going to have, but now I feel like I deserve it, you know? Shout out to the sponsors that make this show possible. Nodeless, Cold Card, or CoinKite, the company. But also just the awesome hardware wallet. And Fold for getting me so many sats back. In fact, I got a lot of sats back. Well, let me get my spins. I think I still have some spins that I never did today. Hold on a second. Kroger. Oh, a Kroger boost. Hell yeah. I don't think I have a Kroger nearby. Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I got 80 spins. I think that's because I got 50 for buying some Bitcoin earlier today. Spinny spin, spin, spin. 3710. 3,710 sats. Not too shabby. Claim, take, give me my dollars worth of Bitcoin, and get on out of here. All right, guys, with that, I am out. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to check out Bitcoin Magazine. The link is in the show notes, where if you want to get your shirt or your beanie or your hat or whatever it is, check it out. Comes highly recommended from the Federal Reserve. So it's something to consider. I'm out. Have a wonderful weekend. We're going to have a big week ahead because I'm done with two really big projects. I'm almost done listening through with Broken Money audiobook. We are going to get that published very soon, and then we just wait on Audible. So keep an ear out. That audiobook is just around the corner. And holy shit, is that a fantastic book. Shout out to Lynn Alden. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. Knows nothing, and he thinks he knows everything. That points clearly to a political career. George Bernard Shaw.